If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First, it's free. Second, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Is your faith based on what you can see? Would you still have faith if God never answered your prayers? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm Hannah, a singer, writer, speaker, podcaster, and certified biblical counselor. I'm honored to be your host along this journey to stronger faith, holiness, emotional restoration and healing, and deliverance for the millennial woman. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our hearts in pursuit of a life that is distinct, set apart, and built on the practical foundation of God's truth. She is walking in power. She's walking in freedom. Without a doubt, all will know that she's marked. Ladies, welcome back to the She's Marked podcast. This is episode 017 entitled Faith Over Feelings. If you are new to the She's Marked podcast, thank you so much for clicking and listening. You are more than welcome to go back and listen to episodes from season one and earlier in season two to get caught up, to get encouraged, and to grow in your faith and in this journey that we're on together. A couple updates before we jump into this topic. I know that I have shared before that I was working toward completing my certification in biblical counseling, and I'd like to say, drum roll, it is done. It is finished. I am so very grateful that I completed my one-year certification program at the beginning of this month in the midst of everything that has been going on. So I'm so very grateful to the Lord for that. It has been quite some time since I have been in a classroom setting. When I received my undergraduate degree in psychology, that was in 2008. And at that moment, I was so through with school. I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to pursue any other degrees or anything. I don't desire it. I'm not interested in it. And that was just what it was for that season in my life. That was before I had children. So this was my first time being back in a learning setting. And granted, I did this program online. It was much, much different than what schooling was for me many years ago. Now being a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, there's just so many other things to juggle. But by God's grace, I was able to push through and finish my program within the allotted time. So praise God for that. All right. Now, before we dive in, let's take a quick break so that I can tell you all about one of my upcoming ventures. Simply put, I love home. I love comfort, safety, warmth, and cozy. Can you sense an introvert? I am. Home is not only where the heart is, but home is where the rest is. With the pandemic, our lives changed. By force, we began spending enormous amounts of time at home, working, worrying, educating our children if we had them, and quarantining. As we approach year three of this new way of life, the home means something completely different. A full-time homeschooling mom, I spend the majority of my time here, as do my children. I wanted rich, biblical, and educational material in order to enhance daily learning for my littles. I wanted to enhance my prayer time and my prayer space. I wanted constant reminders of God's word, hope, and truth, not just tucked away in my journals or my Bible or bookshelf. I wanted to see it in my kitchen, on the walls in my bathroom and bedroom, in my office on my desk. I wanted to see it waking up and when I went down for the evening. I wanted my kids to see this too and soak in it daily while learning. And that is how the Marked Store was born. The Marked Store is helping gatekeepers of the home to transform their spaces to places of undisturbed rest where the Spirit of God dwells and healing and equipping abide. The Marked Store is for the godly woman, her home, and her littles. You can follow and support The Mark Store on both Facebook and Instagram at The MRKD Store. I was prompted to cover this topic just because in the last month alone, there have been so many feelings that I have experienced. It has been a tough month for our family with the loss of a loved one. And so in just reflecting on feelings and how feelings impact us so much, I've had to be reminded repeatedly about faith. Now, the word tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. And so I contemplated what I might talk about today. At one moment, I thought I was going to be talking about grief, and for some reason, I couldn't pull it together. And then another moment, I thought I'd talk about grief again in a different way, and I still couldn't pull it together. And so usually what happens in those instances is as I try to record and I try to gather my thoughts and I try to prepare, it ends up morphing into something different. And so I trust and believe by faith that that is the Holy Spirit leading my steps according to what He wants to remind me of in this moment and what He wants to remind you all, my dear listeners, of in your personal journeys and what you're going through. We have to stand on our faith over feelings. When you are dealing with something so intense, such as the loss of a life, when you're dealing with grief, when you're dealing with the obvious sadness and the gamut of emotions and experiences that comes with grief, you are overcome with feelings. It is so much about what you're feeling in that moment. Your feelings are surrounded, they're sparked by what you've experienced, they're sparked by what you saw, they're sparked by what this loss now implicates and having to adjust to what life now will look like. And I believe that one of the biggest reminders, one of the biggest angering reminders that is beneficial to us as believers is remembering our faith. Sometimes we'll experience things that we can't make sense of. There is no logical answer. There is no explanation that would even bring us soothing or comfort. There is no answer that would undo what has been done, such as what my family is walking through right now. Sometimes grief is final. So what do you do at those moments where you may be so tempted to kind of go below the surface and transition into a dark place? What is the hope that could be offered to you to keep you grounded in the midst of your grieving? That's what I want to talk about today. I believe that the only answer, aside from letting grief run its course, grief is not something that you want to try to stop prematurely. It's not something that you want to feel guilty about. It's normal. It's natural. It's God-given. It's one of our ways of processing. But when we are on the brink of going dark in that grief, when it becomes extended or when it starts to kind of go wayward. And not just in those instances. This is also something that if you're grieving and you just need that comfort and that truth and that hope to hang on to, that hope is faith. Let's take off the grief hat for a moment. Maybe you're experiencing different feelings. Maybe it's due to a relationship with a loved one, a spouse, a child, a sibling, a parent. Maybe you're having some strong feelings due to your experiences at work. Maybe you're having strong feelings due to, I don't know, fill in the blank. Fill in the blank as it applies to you. And those feelings are tempting you. They're tempting you to either give up. They're tempting you toward depression. They're tempting you toward resentment or bitterness or anger or impatience. Maybe they're tempting you toward retaliation. Maybe they're tempting you toward making a decision and jumping into something that maybe the Lord has not purposed for you. Maybe you've been waiting and praying about something, hoping to see a change, hoping to see a solution, hoping to see a fruit, and you're not seeing it. God has promised that He would work together the good for those who are called by His name. He will work everything together for their good. He promises that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember the promises that God has made. Remember that Your feelings are not king. Even if they're valid, they're not king. So I'm not going to really be talking too much about grief per se today, but I do want to focus on faith over feelings by walking us through some refreshers on what faith is biblically. Let's get right to it. There was something that I read in my program that talked about faith, and this is what it said, and I thought this was so powerful. It's called the Faith Motivation versus Feeling Motivation. And it says, faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. Now, I'm going to read that again, but this time I'll read it the way that it was literally written with the biblical references for each clause. So faith is believing the word of God, Hebrews 11:1 and Romans 10:17, and acting upon it. James 1:22-25 and John 3:36, no matter how I feel, Hebrews 11, knowing that God promises a good result, Hebrews 11:6 and Romans 8:28-29. Before recording this podcast, I had to go back and refresh myself on Hebrews 11, and it was just so profound. I'll probably read some of it toward the end of this episode so that you all can hear it and your faith can be strengthened. We know that the word tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you are feeling overcome or swayed or overpowered or heavily influenced by your feelings, or you're living your life in a feelings motivated type of way, I want you to pause and refresh yourself on what faith is. The Lord calls us to live a faith-motivated life, not a feelings-motivated life. And of course, you guys can imagine why we don't trust our feelings. I know as a young teenager and as a young woman, I was completely led by my feelings. You know, my feelings would determine if I stayed in a situation or if I left a situation. My feelings would determine if I had an outburst. My feelings would determine if I retreated and isolated. My feelings determined whether I would give in or give up or give out. And so we obviously know the issues when we lead with a feelings motivated life. Feelings change. Feelings don't tell the whole picture. Feelings don't respond according to the whole picture. They only respond in part to what we're personally experiencing and all of our other experiences that influence how we experience what we experience. Feelings don't tell the entire story. Feelings change. Feelings are not trustworthy. The Bible says the heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can understand it? You can't trust yourself, because we always only know in part. But one thing that is unchanging is truth. And God's word is truth. Now, I feel that a lot of times we can come into our faith because of what we have seen and experienced and because of a feeling that we have. Oh my goodness, God has shown himself to me and now I believe. But what I love about Hebrews 11, which I read, like I mentioned before I started recording today, I was reminded of these people of old, these people in the Old Testament who received instruction from God and they obeyed, never seeing the promise. They obeyed, never seeing the prayers answered, but they did what they did out of faith. And so I started today's episode by asking the questions, God has done something for me, and because I could see what he did for me, now I believe. Is your faith based on what you can see? Would you still have faith if God never answered your prayers? I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and in the podcast, the host was giving an example of something, and he mentioned a woman who was unequally yoked in her marriage, and she remained married to her husband for decades. She was a believer, he wasn't. And she prayed for her husband. She prayed for him. She prayed for him. She prayed for him. And she, to the best of her ability, modeled in obedience Christ's image. She focused on her own heart and living out her faith just because, one, it was the right thing to do in obedience to God. And then two, it was the right thing to do in obedience to God regarding how she should treat and love and serve her husband. And it wasn't until their 43rd, don't shake, ladies, I did say 43, I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for everybody. I did shiver myself when I heard that. But it wasn't until their 43rd year of marriage that the Lord gave her husband a heart of flesh and removed the heart of stone. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as his savior. He surrendered his life to the Lord. He became baptized and became a wonderful Christian in the latter years of their marriage. And so what I'm saying is that if she had acted on her feelings much, much earlier in the marriage, if she was feelings motivated and she was only there because of how she felt and she would only remain there because of how she felt, what would have happened if she forfeited the cause? Now, I'm not advocating for, you know, abuse in marriage or anything like that. The host today during the podcast that I was listening to did not allude to or seem to believe that there was any sort of abuse going on. And so this woman chose to remain in her marriage, and she chose to let her life's purpose be to pray for and intercede for her husband. That was her role. She could have given up in despair that she wasn't getting the life that she desired, or she didn't have the godly husband that she desired. But she took the assignment that God has placed me in this man's life to intercede, because at the end of the day, he doesn't belong to me. He belongs to the Lord. And the Lord is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. She understood the assignment, and she completed and fulfilled her assignment by faith, even when she didn't see the evidence for it. And so with that, I want to take it to the Word. I want that to be one of the staples of what we do here on the She's Marked podcast. We are women of the Word, and we receive our healing and our restoration. We maintain a lifestyle of holiness through the Word. So if you are somewhere that you can crack open your Word with me, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11. If you're driving, if you're washing the dishes, if you're nursing the baby, if you're taking a walk or exercising, you all can listen in, and I'm going to go ahead and read to you through the Word. I'm going to read. I don't know how much I'm going to read. I'm going to read until we've received what we're here to receive. So listen in. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I am reading from the NASB version. And it reads, "Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible." Come on, I felt that. God is not going to take things that we can see to make something that we can see. He's going to take things that are unseen to make things seen. So really quick, in your situation, what is it that you're not seeing right now that may have you weary? It may have you thirsty. It may have you at the edge of your seat because you don't see it. Lord, I can't see this thing. You're telling me to hold on and I can't see it. That's the type of God we serve. A God that takes things that are not seen to make things that are seen. So let me start verse 3 again. "By faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel in Genesis, Cain and Abel. Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him." Verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise." I'm going to fast forward. Verse 11, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who promised." This one, this verse right here, does it for me. It takes me out every time. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. I'm going to read that first part again, and I'm going to tell you the part that's the kicker for me. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. Listen to this right here. But having seen and welcomed them from a distance. Verse 13, and I go back to my question. Is your faith based on what you can see? Would you still have faith if God never answered your prayers? My dear listener, I want to encourage you as I myself am being encouraged. God is not going to take what you can see to create more of what you can see. He is going to take the things that you cannot see to create something that you can see. And when I say something that you can see, I should say something that is visible. I want to be careful with my wording. I don't want to be contradicting, because the things that you are praying or waiting for, the things that you are doing in obedience, you may never really see the fruit of it. That's just the truth of the matter. Life is not promised. We're not going to be here forever. But will you still obey as a child of God, as his vessel? Are you serving him in order for him to do things that you can see? Are you serving him for what you can see, what you can get, what you can reap for the next blessing? I know that that's kind of a concerning thing that happens a lot in the faith. You hear a lot about that in like the prosperity gospel and all these things. And people are holding on to faith in the Lord for what he can do for them. And they're anxiously waiting to see it, which is good. But the reality is, if we really look into the word of God and we look into the examples that he has given us in his word of how people live their lives and what came of it, the Lord wants you. He wants your devotion. He doesn't want it to be some sort of bartering contract. Okay, I give you some, you give me some. I give you some, you give me some. That's not how it works. He wants us. We belong to him. But we have to really recognize that. Last month, we talked about following Jesus and what it means to be a believer. It's not just a sinner's prayer, but it's about a life of obedience and a life of continual following. It's about a life of progressive sanctification. And then we come to the end of ourselves. What are we really following for? Are we following for God's blessings? Are we following because we want him to bestow goodness on us and favor on us? Those things are wonderful, but what if he's calling you to suffer? My mom and I just had a really deep conversation about that. What if he's calling you to be the pivotal caveat in someone else's life? What if he's calling you to be that voice of intercession for someone else? What if your situation may never improve? Will you still serve? Will you still follow? Will you still love? I encourage you to be faith motivated. The rewards will be great. It might not be rewards that you'll see here on this earth, but it'll be rewards nonetheless. And how can I tell you this with such confidence? Well, my father said so. He told us that if we endure, we will see glory. He said, if we endure just a little while, our trials will last just a little while in this life. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some versions say revealed to us. And it isn't just about suffering. There could be things that you are hoping for, things that you're desiring for. It might not even be that you're suffering and you have to endure and hang in there. God might have instructed you to do certain things. He's instructing you to live your life in a certain way. So I say, keep serving, have a faith-motivated life, and walk by faith, not by what you can see. Because what you can see changes, and what you can see can shake you. It can change your direction. It can change your outlook. It can alter you. But keep your eyes set on the one who never changes, the God of the universe who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord desires something that is not superficial. I believe that he desires to shape and transform us into women of true grit, women of true love, women of true substance and character. And so as we learn to live in total surrender, as we learn to live in total dependence, he is shaving off those things that can make us superficial, like serving him based on what we can get. It isn't hardly that type of relationship. He wants true allegiance, true commitment, true oneness with us, true adoration from us, because he is worthy, because it's the kind of God that he is. And he desires to make us into daughters of substance, daughters of richness, who understand his position, and women who understand their position. He alone is God. I'm so grateful for that. Remain faithful and live the faith-motivated life. Until next time. That's it for today, but the journey continues. Visit shesmarked.com for more episodes, to make a donation, or to check out the Marked Life blog. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, tell a friend, and consider leaving a review. Remember, the word tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. As you go through this week, remember to walk as children of light.